Hello, this is Dr. Terry Walls, and today I'll be mapping organ meats on the 15-minute matrix.
Welcome to the 15-minute matrix. I'm Andrea Nakayama, functional medicine nutritionist and your host. This is the podcast that brings you bite-sized insights and lessons on how to use the most important tool in functional medicine and functional nutrition. Today, I'll be talking with Dr. Terry Walls about OFFAL, that's O-F-F-A-L, otherwise known as organ meats. Dr. Terry Walls is a clinical professor of medicine at the University of Iowa, where she conducts clinical trials. The focus of the research is the impact of diet and lifestyle on chronic disease, with a particular focus on multiple sclerosis and amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. Her interest in using dietary and lifestyle interventions developed as a result of her own health challenges. Dr. Walls is also a patient with secondary progressive multiple sclerosis. Dr. Walls restored her health using a diet and lifestyle program she designed specifically for her brain. This has led to the development of a research program to understand the mechanisms that underlie her recovery. Welcome, Dr. Walls. So, Dr. Walls, I'm so excited to talk about and map OFFAL, all the different kinds of organ meats. And I'm wondering if we could just start out by listing the types of organ meats that you might consider to be most beneficial.
Well, you know, the organ meat is anything that's not muscle meat really is basically a third of the carcass dry weight is offal. So liver is the most obvious one that we think about. Heart would then be the second most common. But you have other things, kidneys. There are some societies that use lungs. Brain is a traditional offal meat. Grape on a farm kit. I used to love serving testicles, that is Rocky Mountain oysters, to unsuspecting friends. Right. And that was always very, very fun. And then bone broth, you know, chicken feet, knuckles, bones are also another part of offal as well.
And tongue, I grew up eating tongue as a kid.
Tongue is delicious. Like, oh my God, that is so yummy.
That's your favorite, one of your favorites?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You know, and my kids really like tongue a great deal. They don't want to peel it, so and that's fine. But they are very much in love with the taste.
So if we think about ancestral history, briefly, why did our ancestors eat organ meats? Why was it a natural part of their diet?
Well, I would have to assume that it was because they understood that the best health effects were associated with eating offal. And if there was a surfeit of meat, you left the muscle meat behind for the jackals, and people would harvest the organ meat preferentially. The original offal would have been bone marrow and brains that were rich in essential fatty acids, which allowed us to develop our big brains. Early humans were scavengers, so we took rocks and cracked open the skulls of animals to get the brains, and then broke the long bones to get the marrow, both of which would be great sources of omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids.
Wow, I hadn't realized that. I think about a lot of the other nutrients, but I didn't realize the EFAs were so... It makes sense, though, for eating the brains,
yes,
that it would be so rich in essential fats.
Yes, absolutely critical. And that was our most critical nutrient to the development of our species, was those essential fatty acids. And even in liver now, you get a lot of essential fatty acids in the liver. We're also going to get a great source of B vitamins, particularly B12, but all of our B vitamins are there. And you're going to have, if it's a grass-fed animal, plenty of vitamin K. You'll get a lot of vitamin A, vitamin D as well. You won't get much vitamin C. And then you'll have very nicely absorbed minerals, which will be much more readily absorbed out of the liver than out of any of your plant materials.
Right. So iron, what other minerals? I think
zinc.
Zinc. Mm-hmm.
Magnesium.
Right.
Manganese, a little bit of copper, and magnesium.
Yeah, copper was the one I was thinking of for sure. I love how you came to creating the WALS protocol and really dissecting both the realm of functional medicine and the realm of the paleo or particular paleo or keto diet along with intermittent fasting to come up with the protocol that is highest in nutrient density and actually delivers the nutrition that the body mm-hmm. needs to heal. Some nutrients that we didn't talk about yet are CoQ10 and choline,
yes.
also really important that some might be taking supplementally and that we can get from the sources you're talking about.
Particularly organ meat.
Right.
Particularly organ meat. And heart and liver are exceptional in both of those.
When we think about what might trigger a practitioner to consider the inclusion of organ meats in the diet, what might you spark for us? What might we be thinking of?
Anytime you have heart failure, chronic fatigue, chronic migraines, neurodegeneration, Alzheimer's, macular degeneration, that's a big indication to me the mitochondria not working well, and the person's going to benefit greatly from adding liver and heart to the diet.
So we're looking at all these different nutrients. We're thinking about B12 and folate and iron and choline, vitamin A and K, the essential fats, minerals, CoQ10. Of course, all of this is going to impact the biological systems on myriad levels. But let's just get into what I call the soup of the system, the central part of the functional nutrition matrix. How do these organ meats benefit gastrointestinal function?
Well, you're going to improve your zinc, your essential fatty acids, your vitamin A, your retinol intake, and these are all critical nutrients by the colonocytes. What many people don't realize is beta carotene is not retinol. It's not vitamin A. You have to convert that beta carotene to the vitamin A. And so organ meat, liver provides that very, very nicely. In addition, you're going to have the essential fatty acids, again, that are necessary for healing and repair of the colonocytes in those tight junctions.
And then you're an expert in particularly, or I think of you as an expert, Dr. WALS, in the immune and inflammatory balance, and particularly in oxidative stress with mitochondrial function. Talk to us a little bit about the use of organ meats in those particular areas.
So coenzyme Q, ubiquinone, your richest dietary source is organ meat, heart being slightly more dense than liver, but I'd say those two will be exceptional sources. Brains would have also been a great source, but brains are really fallen out of favor. It's going to be much more difficult to get access to brains there. Beauty in terms of immune cells, the organ meats are not pro-inflammatory like the grains or whole grains or dairy that are so high in the lectins. So it'll be calming that way.
Interesting. And I'm thinking too about the vitamin A and the way that you talked about in the beta carotenes versus the retinol, and also the iron in terms of digestibility and usability. Why are the organ meats more readily available for the body?
So in plants, minerals are a little more chelated. They are as not as biologically available as they are in the organ meat. They're available somewhat in muscle meats as well, but you just have a higher density of these minerals, particularly zinc, copper are going to be higher. Iron is going to be higher as well. It's just much more readily absorbed. You'll still need some stomach acid.
Right, but the body can be in a state of disrepair or in a healing state and still get these nutrients more readily, it sounds like, than if the diet
plants.
Was high. Right, got it. Yeah. So personal question, Dr. Walls, before we get super practical, did you notice a significant difference when you started to add organ meats to your diet?
Well, you know, my recovery was startlingly quick when I'd been doing a paleo diet since 2002, continued to decline, added vitamins and supplements, continued to decline. But when I redesigned my paleo diet and structured it this way, within 3 months, my fatigue was gone, my mental clarity was markedly better, my pain was markedly reduced, and I was beginning to walk again. And so the speed of my improvements were startling. In my clinics, when I get people fired up about organ meats and really following the Walls protocol, this is a very consistent observation that energy improves, mental clarity improves, brain fog diminishes, and pain diminishes. And that's really across a wide variety of disease states.
And how do you get people fired up about organ meats? It's not an easy one. It's not like eating chocolate.
You cook it for them.
and then they like
it. You make liver and onions. You know, it's amazing. So my daughter comes home and we fix lamb liver and onions. And she's really excited because, you know, it's tasty. Unfortunately, too many people overcook their liver. It becomes dry like cardboard. My kids, both my son and my daughter, really enjoy liver and onions, whether it's chicken liver, lamb liver, bison liver, beef liver. The secret is to sear it, leave it rare or medium rare, and have lots of onions. It's really quite delicious.
And with your children, who I know are grown children, but did you notice a difference in their health when you started to introduce the organ meats?
My son has asthma, which quieted down. We got him on the paleo diet. And my daughter had some mental health issues related to anxiety, which diminished. And then, which I think is really pretty interesting, she moved away, lived with a very dear friend who's vegetarian. So she, wasn't eating as much meat and was eating a much more grain-based, legume-based diet and noticed that her anxiety was coming back. Came back up with me. We were fixing our liver and onions. And she could made the very interesting observation that her anxiety was calming again.
Wow. Yeah, that's quite a testament. When you're talking about organ meats, I know sourcing is a huge question for people, especially if we're talking
yes.
about the liver and we know the role of the liver. What are your recommendations for people regarding sourcing organ meats?
Well, the people that I served in my clinics at the VA were living on food stamps. So for them, I'm telling them to do the best they can given their economic circumstances. For many, they were hunters, and so they had wild game that they were using. And I recommended they use organic organ meats, particularly for liver. If they needed to have conventional meats for their other meats, I think that was okay. But I really want them to have liver be organic or wild-caught game.
And is there anything else that you would like to share with practitioners out there about the use of organ meats in their practice and for clients and patients on their healing journeys?
You know, I want them to expand all of the organ meats that are available. Heart is incredibly easy, tasty, that will taste very much like a steak. So that's probably the easiest one to begin with. Then shellfish, oysters, mussels, it may also feel pretty easy. Liver really can be very tasty. The reason most people hate it is that it's been not prepared properly. It's overcooked. And you know, if I can get teenage kids fired up about how tasty liver is, I expect that if you can find a chef to help you in some cooking classes, I think you'll find it much easier for people to be excited if they eat it first and realize, like, oh my God, it really can be delicious.
That's amazing. Do you have organ meats on the menu tonight?
Well, as a matter of fact, I do.
Tell us a little more.
So what I do is I cook up chicken liver and onions, and then I make a big batch so I can either freeze it and then make a fresh batch of pate where I put it all through my food processor with some olive oil. And then I have that with guacamole and some hot sauce on a kale leaf or a cabbage leaf. It's really quite yummy. I'm already salivating thinking about it.
Yeah, it's you're making me think about where the cultures we came from. I know that, you know, bone marrow's all the rage these days with bone broth, but I remember my mom making a brisket or making something, making soup and sucking the bones. That's how she grew up. You would suck the marrow out of the bones. And we've moved so far away from these highly nutrient-dense foods in our diet.
I think I saw my mom do and my grandmother do is the cartilage end of chicken bones. She'd break those off and eat them up. And the cartilage end off a breastbone, she'd eat that up. I remember my grandmother saying, "You've got that cartilage. You should be eating that stuff too." And of course, you know, us being a youngster, I wouldn't. And now, of course, I do.
Yeah, it all comes right around. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Walls, for the work you do and for sharing with us the importance of eating our offal and mapping with us organ meats on the 15-Minute Matrix.
Thank you.
The 15-Minute Matrix is brought to you by me, Andrea Nakayama, and the Functional Nutrition Alliance. The 15-Minute Matrix team includes my son, Gilbert Nakayama, on sound production, Renee Hunt, Natalie Merrill, and Christine Shook. You can visit us and hear more episodes at www.15minutematrix.com. And if you'd like to get my therapeutic diet matrix and be notified each time there's a new podcast episode, please go to www.15minutematrix.com/diets. That's www.15minutematrix.com/diets. And email us. We want to know who you'd like to hear on the podcast and what you'd like to see mapped on the 15-Minute Matrix. You can always email us at ask@15minutematrix.com. Again, that's ask@15minutematrix.com. And to learn more about Dr. Terry Walls, her clinical trials, and get her favorite recipe for liver and onions, visit us at www.15minutematrix.com and we'll get you connected to your offal. Enjoy your liver and onions tonight, and big hugs to you.